Welcome to another episode for Conversations for Financial Professionals, where we are shaping the next generation of financial advice. And today we have Janelle O'Ryan. Janelle, you've spent the last 15 years in marketing, so you are an expert. We won't use the term guru because that gets such negative connotations nowadays, but you are currently a marketing strategy and coach for your company, Shine Bright Marketing, which helps businesses gain valuable information from their marketing analytics, data, and research to assist in creating marketing content or programs that will increase sales. Your goal is to help entrepreneurs feel good in their business with marketing strategy, intention, and execution. And I know that you're effective at that because we've had a call and we've talked. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Dominic. It's great to be here.
Oh, yeah, this is awesome. I think this is going to be really, really good. I don't think there's enough that can be said when it comes to how do I get my message out? How do I jumpstart my marketing program or plan? So I think maybe the best way to start off this conversation, well, let's define some terms and some vernacular here so we know what marketing actually is. Could you help us with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually one of the things that I say to my clients, right? It's like marketing is like an ocean, right? It's like everything in the you can possibly imagine is in there, but you only need a small subset of it. And one of the challenges and one of the reasons why I think marketing can be so overwhelming, especially for someone who's either just starting out or doesn't have a background in marketing, right? They're experts at what they do, not in marketing. Yeah. Then it can be overwhelming to try to navigate and sift through, well, what's important for me, for my business, where I am today? Because that changes, and which means that your marketing tactics can change. And so like probably the first thing that people oftentimes get confused of is that there's marketing strategy and then there's marketing tactics. And the strategy is the overall plan that you're going to follow to accomplish the goals that you're setting out to achieve. And then the tactics are the specific elements that align with those goals. And what oftentimes happens, and it's understandable, but that people, like someone said to them, oh, you've got to be on the next social media craze, you got to do a podcast, or you've got to do this, and what they don't realize is that without a plan in place, then they're just, was what I say, like throwing spaghetti at the wall, because there is no way of really measuring if that was effective or not. Did it hit their target audience or not? Was it the right messaging content? And then if you don't measure it, then you have no way of changing it to improve it.
So let's back up here. So in the example that you just gave, which I think is an excellent one, by the way, so thank you, is the, like, you got to be on the next thing. So let's just TikTok, you got to be on Clubhouse, you got to, you know, whatever.
Right.
You would call those tactics.
Yes.
But without a strategy, really doesn't matter where you are, especially if, like, let's say your ideal client is hanging out on Pinterest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So that is a perfect example of, okay, just to say, like, let's talk about your clients, right? Like, chances are your clients are not going to be on Pinterest. Yeah. Like, I would suggest that they are going to want to be on LinkedIn because that is the social media platform for professionals. Yep. And now someone would say, well, what about Facebook? What about this? And like, there could be, or what about Pinterest? And my philosophy is you'd rather go deep and consistent and quality in one platform than light, inconsistent, and low quality in several platforms. So
okay, let's talk about going deep.
Yeah. So being really effective with LinkedIn, right, is like you're like, that's the one you're gonna post on consistently. You're gonna reach out to people consistently. You're gonna make sure your quality, your content's really quality. You're gonna invest in Sales Navigator and you're gonna do your research and try to find people who could be your potential client or power partner. But to do all of that and learn how to do all of that, do all that really well, means that you probably can't do that with Facebook simultaneously at the same time.
So would you be against or kind of like, I don't know so much about that with these schedulers that allow you to kind of repurpose content on several different platforms? Like, is there a use for that based on what you just said? And I guess maybe this all depends on your marketing strategy and or plan, right?
It is. And where you are in your business. So like, Dominique, for you, I'm sure it works well, right? Like, you are super savvy. You've been successful for a while now, and you've been doing this. As you just said, this is your third year of doing podcasts alone, right? So you're really far along. I'm betting some of your other people listening here are not as far along as you. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I'm trying to encourage them to look at where they're at, right? Like, I try to meet my clients where they're at today. And so if you don't have, just to say, in my opinion, on all honesty, LinkedIn is actually not the priority here. If you're starting out or have only been in business a couple of years and you don't have a CRM where you are keeping track of all of your prospects, all of your clients, all of your colleagues, vendors, and so that you can stay in front of them, then I would say LinkedIn is not your first thing to be focused on. It's really more important to get this marketing foundation in place. As you and I just discussed a little bit before this call, right? If you suddenly just said you had 15 people reach out to you this week and didn't have a way to keep track of them to then stay in touch with them next week or next month, right? Then you've already lost the race of trying to get clients. So I really encourage people to look at their marketing foundation, and this is part of the plan, right? Like, how, like, before you reach out on LinkedIn, where, like, you get an email, where do you put the email? What are you doing with that? And how are you tracking it? And then, so that's the not sexy part of marketing that people don't really think about.
I want to double click on that, to borrow from Shane Parrish. I think you bring up a lot of points, because like, what I wanted to talk to you about was kind of using research to find your ideal client. And I think this marries really well with that, because, you know, I have a CRM and everybody goes in there. That's essentially the people I've collected over all these years on my email list. Because you said, you know, follow up with them next week or next month, but in the financial industries world, that might actually be next year, because like, literally I have an appointment at the end of this month. Hopefully I'm not jinxing it by talking about this, but this person, I've been talking to this person for a year back and forth on LinkedIn. They already have a financial professional, but they still want to talk. But I would never know how many times we've interacted, you know, what the conversation has been, unless I had a CRM to kind of go back and look at the history of that. So maybe talk about that, the importance of having that baseline when you're trying to do the research for that ideal interaction.
Right. Okay, great. So yes, I mean, to your point, and this is true even for me as a marketer as well, right? Like, relationships and relationship marketing takes place over long periods of time, months or years, to your point. And we're not always going to remember everything that was said in every single conversation. And so a CRM is a super useful tool to track that. The other thing is that CRMs can do, and you probably do this as well, right? Like, how did you hear about them? Or what is the, like, what group, what, where did they come into your network and from what platform, whether it was from LinkedIn or whether it was from a networking group that you visited, or whether it was a referral from somebody else, right? Like, a lot of the people that I work with, the number one way they get clients right now is from word of mouth and referrals, right? There is a way to put a process behind that to be more consistent. And so instead of it just being completely like, oh, I just know it's this word of mouth, I do nothing around that, right? Well, if you can do some analysis, if in your CRM you're tracking, oh, I got, here's all the referrals that I got, and five of them came from Dominique, and then four of them came from this particular networking group, or one of them came from LinkedIn. Well, that's gonna help me, sorry, LinkedIn was a bad example, it's not a referral, but it is, but if you're tracking who the people are or the groups are that you are getting clients from, then you can actually apply a marketing strategy to these referral partners, right? Not all word of mouth referrals are created equal. Yeah. So in marketing, you could have a marketing strategy regarding your word of mouth and referrals as well. And again, for people who are just starting out or have just been in business for a few years, then that is going to get them much farther, faster to their goal of more clients than it will be to have a social media strategy.
No, I would agree with that. Because I mean, one of the most powerful things to me, and this kind of just dovetails into what we're talking about, is the power of the email list, right? I was just talking with a client the other day about, you know, it's great, you can be on all these different things, but in reality, if, let's say you started a newsletter, right? You start collecting those email lists or those emails on your list, that's yours to have. That's the first thing. No matter where you go, what firm you're with, those emails are yours. So it's, you know, that's, you know, your content marketing strategy can be given to those people for probably immediate ROI or more immediate ROI. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is, you can always, even without a website, you can always go like, you know, what I call guerrilla warfare or hand-to-hand combat, go DM or something like that. You don't have to have this, you know, elaborate posting strategy. You know, you've got their email already, or you got their contact information. So I really believe with what you're saying. And I think a lot of advisors, what they do, or potential advisors, they think about what I need to be doing on social. But at the end of the day, people still read emails. And if you can build that email list inside that CRM, it sounds like that's a really, really powerful thing to do, that at least that you recommend.
Absolutely. And I'll give you some stats to support it. And this stat might be a little bit old, but you can think of every single email that you have is worth $20 in marketing dollars. Okay. Every single email, right? So that means that, like, to get
$20 a month, or how frequently are we measuring this? Or
so, you know, that's a great question. And honestly, it's lifetime acquisition. So it would be like, it's the one time fee.
Okay.
But like, the point being is $20 is actually quite valuable to like hold on to, right? You don't want to just like throw that away. Like, think if you've got an email list of 100 people, right? Like you're just throwing one away if you're not utilizing it. But it is also really, to your point, I want to hit home on that, is it's your list, right? It's your proprietary list, right? Like, I know of someone, right, who's pretty big on social, on LinkedIn, who did something and LinkedIn said, nope, you violated a rule, right?
Been
and
there,
so they shut them down, right? And if LinkedIn is your only lead gen source, then you're screwed, really, to put it, you know, bluntly.
Yeah.
So no matter what other type, no matter what, I mean, I can encourage, you can have all the different platforms you want and be on all of them. If you don't have an email list, then you are at risk of losing your entire database. And that is something that everyone, no matter how small you are, you want to start building that list as soon as you possibly can, because that's your proprietary information at that point.
Yeah.
So that's the one piece there. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, a lot of people think, when they think about marketing, they think about, oh, I've got to get a new customer, right? And without really thinking about this idea of customer marketing or retention marketing, which means, how can you maximize the customers that you already have? In financial planners, right? Like, there are probably still different offerings that you can do, right? It could be like the annual review. It could be a quarterly review. It could be, let's just do, I'm going to say exit strategy, but that's not necessarily it. But like,
no, there's tons of stuff though, like employer benefits review. You can talk about tax planning, because that's a big thing right now. So there's plenty of stuff to point.
Right. And so maybe you're doing taxes for, let's just say, 10 of your clients. I guarantee you, they do not know all of the other things that you offer. Even if you've sent them stuff, even if you told them about it, I can guarantee you that they cannot list off all the things that you do. So what's important is that you consistently remind them of these things, not in a salesy way, but in a serving way of like, hey, just, you know, like when you get to this point. And what happens is, at the moment they need it, then they remember that you do it. And so a lot of solopreneurs don't recognize, they always think of, oh, I need to get a new customer, but there is actually way more value in cultivating your current customers and to have a longer life cycle with you, thus make more money that you can make more money with them. And it costs less, because again, you already have their email. They already know and like you, they already trust you. And so to offer them another product for them to say yes to is way easier than getting a brand new person to know and like you right off the bat. And so that's the marketing that people miss out on.
No, I would agree. The saying is, the easiest customer to get is the one you already have, right? So I would totally agree with that. I think the nuance with our industry, and I can even caveat this nuance, but it's usually, at least in my model, where a client pays really a fixed rate or a predefined rate based on the slew of services, whether they're using them or not. Mm-hmm. But I would also say, And, you know, there's this whole notion in our industry too around cross-selling. And here's the caveat where, you know, you might have a fee-based practice where you're charging somebody for investment management or comprehensive financial planning, but they also have insurance needs, right? And mm-hmm. you know, instead of you trying to find the next, you know, marginal customer, like you're saying, or client, have you asked any of your clients to review their current insurance needs that right. you already have?
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's something that you don't really like to do, or maybe you can partner with somebody. But the point is they probably have that need. And to your point, they already know, like, and trust you. So
exactly. Exactly. And so I often advise as like a stepping stone, again, for people who are early in their career or their business, or just a couple of years in, that you put this type of marketing in place early on, because one, it also improves customer service, right? Because people are going to feel taken care of, even if they don't need the services. Like they're going to know more about you. Yeah. You're going to know more about them. And especially if you can target, right? I mean, that's another element of marketing that I really recommend. And this is like, it's called segmentation. When you, to your example, if you're doing comprehensive financial planning for one group, and then you're doing tax preparation, let's say, for another group, right? Those conceivably could be two different people.
Yeah.
Now, you want them to know about the other, but at the same time, every email doesn't have to mention both. The people who are getting taxes done with you, you'd be better served to just talk to them about their taxes than talk to them about everything every single time. And so that's called segmentation. So back to your email list, you can talk to the people, specific people, about their specific needs. And then that way your marketing becomes way more effective.
No, you bring up a good example of this. There's so many rabbit trails I want to go down with this, Janelle. So I appreciate you doing this. So the first is about the segmentation, which is really powerful because people, you know, you start collecting email addresses, and let's say it's a master list. Mm-hmm. Well, every offering you have, especially in my consulting business, is not appropriate for the master list. Right. So there's different ways and techniques, and I'm pretty sure you can speak to that, or they can, you know, find out more information that you offer with your MBA, which we'll talk about in just a second, to help them with that. But here's the point. So we're sitting in church this past weekend, me and my wife, and she goes to this place where it's called like Hand in Stone. Hopefully I'm not throwing them under the bus, but maybe they'll listen to this and they'll fix their thing. So she's on a master email list, and she gets this Valentine's Day promotion for something like, basically, that's a cold customer. She's already paying a subscription every month. So she's like, why am I getting this? So she's asking me, and I'm like, oh, what's going on? What are you talking about? I was like, here, just unsubscribe. So now she's unsubscribed from the list. They've already gotten her money, but if they ever wanted to cross sell her again, they've kind of lost a customer. So I want you to kind of speak to how, like, maybe the order you should be thinking about this in from a strategy standpoint, so you don't end up spamming, or at least mm-hmm. sending unsolicited messages to the wrong segment.
Right. Okay. Well, to break it down, because some people are probably like overwhelmed at the word of segmentation. So the first
buckets. Step, okay. Buckets.
Oh yeah. So the first step is that you're collecting emails, right? Like, let's just start there. And even if you don't have a CRM, then just make sure you're organizing it really carefully, whether it's in your Outlook or your Gmail or whatever mail program you're using, because you can still, like, it's not considered a CRM, but you can at least be collecting the emails. So instead of just having—
And let me throw this in real quick, just parenthetically. If you don't want to buy a CRM because you're just starting out and budget's tight, go to look at, if you're on Chrome, Streak CRM is a really, really good Chrome add-on that allows you to do exactly what Janelle's talking about. Okay, so keep going.
Terrific, and I love hearing about new ones. I haven't heard of that one, so that's great.
Yep.
So at the very least, you're having like a business contact list, right? Like that would be like the minimum, but to Dominique's point, like, there are free ones out there, so you can get one. Okay, so now you've got an email list, and now you wanna start sending information. And so, here's that word strategy again, right? Yeah. You're not just going to be like, oh, I got to have an email. What's my email? And you're going to like send an email out today, right? Like ideally you're going to say, and again, I'm not saying it to plan out the whole year, but like, let's plan out like a quarter. And maybe you're only going to send out one email that quarter, but like what seems relevant, right? Like, so for example, first quarter of a year, it makes sense to send out a tax email because it's tax season, right? So like you're thinking about that, like what does your client want to hear about, right? Like not do you, what do you want to tell them? What do they want to hear about? What's their pain point? Or another word that I love is what's their joy point? Like how do they want to feel if you were to solve a problem for them? And so that piece of like what content is relevant is also necessary to do prior to sending out the email. And then you can send out the email. Now there's a step in there, right? Of like, what platform are you going to use? Is it a MailChimp or Content Contact or something?
But like all those are tactics, like you said before.
Yeah. And in those cases, those are the platforms, right? So like, this is a strategy of, so like you've started collecting emails. Now you've started thinking about your content and now you can send out an email. This, the next step of like the buckets or the segmentation is, if you're, with your email list, if you're saying, okay, here's your master list, and then everyone's in the master list, but some people are in the tax bucket and some people are in the comprehensive financial planning bucket, right? So then you can say, okay, so what would be something that can go to everyone, which could be potentially, hey, I'm on a podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to watch it. Yeah. And then, hey, here's something about your taxes that are really relevant to you. Like, those go to the tax bucket. And then here's the latest and greatest thing regarding, you know, financial planning and, or like, here's what the market's doing. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Right. And so then you send the email out to each bucket. So again, you've thought about the content that pertains to the audience and then you send out the email.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, you're dropping some nuggets here, because I think one of the things that I've seen over and over and over again for advisors that are like a bigger, you know, let's call them like wealth management firms, wirehouses like Merrill Lynch, because of compliance, they're having to, you know, kind of look a little bit more cookie cutter because there's so many advisors at that firm. So everybody gets access to the same email marketing system and sends out the same thing to the same type of client. And then they wonder why the clients never pick up the phone and go, yes, I really want to work with you, Dominic. It's because, you know, you're not really speaking to what I want to do. So I want to pivot here a little bit and talk about like really capturing the essence of what your ideal client is wanting. And I think what you talked about earlier, like one thing is you got to do research on them. And so maybe we hit that real quick and then go to like, how do you formulate this messaging?
Sure. I would imagine that anyone who's starting a business has an idea, right, of who their ideal client is. It may not be accurate and it might be like theoretical at the moment, but they have an idea. And they can start there with that idea. And I'll come back to that in a second. But if you've been in business 1 year, 2 year, and you've had clients, if you've had clients, let's just leave it at that, whether it's 5, 10, 20 or more, right? This is not statistically significant, but if you had 20 clients and you could look at them objectively and say, where are the commonalities? Gender, age, life, working, not working, retired, right? Where do they live? These are all different like areas where you can like, how can they like fit together? We're going to see, and then tie it to, well, what offering are you providing them? So again, you just mentioned that like, there's a whole bunch of things that a certified financial planner can offer to a client. Well, I'm pretty sure, Dominique, that like, if you were to look at it, a chunk of your revenue comes from one specific offering. Right. And then another chunk comes from another offering.
Yep.
So what I suggest when you're starting out is to narrow down your most profitable offering to tie it to the most profitable customer. So for example, I can use myself as an example. You know, when I started out, marketing, like I said, it's an ocean. There's lots of different things. I've always done what I'm talking to you about, which is like this data and analysis piece. But I recognized that no one wakes up in the morning going, oh, my data's terrible. Just doesn't
happen. Everybody thinks their data's good, probably.
What they think of is that their website's terrible.
Okay.
Right? That's what gets them up in the morning. And so they don't know that actually data is tied to their website. So they don't really know anything about that. So what I ended up having to realize is to be like, actually, I need to talk to them about their websites. And then let them understand that that's the last point. I can still help them with their websites, but it's not the first thing we're going to do, because this data and this analysis and this messaging all has to be done prior to the website. So in your case, what I figured out is that in the websites are like this lead, this is like part of my messaging. And yet it is the quality of like where most of my revenue comes in is actually doing this data and analysis, right? Mm-hmm. So making sure that I'm targeting this piece, like who needs this? And this is where the majority of my business is, which is how I got to coaches, you know, like people who've left corporate America to become their own consultant and coach, because they are the ones that need what specifically this one aspect of what I offer that is my highest value to me and my highest value to them.
Coaching. Now that's probably a topic that you either know you needed or you don't. So I'm not here to tell you that you need a coach. However, what I will tell you is that as an existing financial professional, sometimes you might find yourself a little inconsistent or even frustrated when you compare your success to those of your peers. That's because you have more in you, my friend. You got more to pull out. You got some more potential. Enter the Masterclass Coaching Lab. Having consulted some of the top advisors over the past few years, including building my own wealth management firm, I know what it takes to take you and your team to the next level. So as one of my coaching clients, we're gonna have a no-fluff, customized plan to absolutely crush your goals. No BS, no fluff. Need to break away and start your own firm? Gotcha covered. Need to find your ideal client? Gotcha covered. Maybe you need help finding that ideal client or implementing some ROI producing systems and workflows. Gotcha covered. In either case, the Masterclass Coaching Lab is probably for you. Look, if you're serious about getting to the next level and you need some assistance, all you need to do is go to thejumpstartcoachinglab.com/masterclass and get started with your application. Let's get back to that episode. You bring up a lot of good points, because I think the challenge is, out of 100 advisors that come in the industry, 85 of them concentrate on the same exact client. I do comprehensive planning for individuals and families. Okay, that's everybody in the United States, basically.
Right.
Like, right. Can you get more specific with who you want, whether that's, you know, I mean, you get really specific with neurosurgeons making over $1 million a year that are in private practice with two of the people that are trying to retain their employees of staffs less than 25. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can do that. But the quality of your marketing message to that person versus anybody else is going to be just night and day. And so I think you're speaking to that. And it really, it's one of those things where I talk about this a lot with financial professionals. All of them can't execute on this because of the situation they're in or the fears they may have. But you and scores of others that are outside of this industry, and we haven't had this conversation before, are saying the exact same thing as mm-hmm. I've been saying the whole time. So take it for what it's worth, people.
Yeah. And one of my colleagues, like her phrase is, when you market to everyone, you market to no one.
Totally agree.
No one sees themselves in your marketing message if you're trying to get everyone to fit in it. And I get it. I get that there is a fear. Like, there's this notion that all of us have, like if it's a scarcity model of if I narrow too much, then there's not going to be enough people who need me or want me or hear about me. And I'm here to tell you that while that fear is real, it's not reality. Because the effectiveness, your marketing is going to be much more effective. And this is to Dominique, what you just said. If you were to speak to a neurosurgeon with 25 employees, right? You don't have to do all the other things, but like just even say neurosurgeon with 25 employees. So they're in private practice, right? The message you can just imagine in your head, what would you say to them would be totally different than what would you say to a couple of retired people who are trying to figure out a trust for their grandkids.
Yeah.
Right? Like just totally different messaging. And you're going to be much more effective with your marketing if you're just focused that messaging on the group that's going to hear you.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, you bring up a really good point. Is it about being just seen, or is it about being heard? Because the whole thing is like, don't you want somebody to do something after they see your message? Mm-hmm. Like if they just see it, then you're just, you know, like, what was the point of that? So no, I love that. Let's talk about some tools to execute. This has been great. I mean, obviously I could I could just pick your brain all day because mm-hmm. you're hitting on all these points that I bring up in my community. I think what would be most helpful is speaking to the person that's a career changer. Actually, I want to do two messages. So let's segment this. So
okay.
We got the career changer that's the outside looking in. They're like, man, I don't really like this whole, you know, whatever I'm doing right now. I like financial services because of X, Y, and Z. So I always tell them to kind of start with their why. Like, why are you trying to get in the industry? What is it about you? Is it about like wanting to help people? What is it about? Right. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some tools to execute in that particular idea. Like whether they're working for somebody or not, I think the marketing and the value proposition stays the same. Mm-hmm. You know, you as an entrepreneur want to bring, you know, positivity to the bottom line as well as your employer. So mm-hmm. what type of frame of mind should they be kind of be thinking about, in your opinion?
Just to clarify, the frame of mind is regarding their marketing, whether they're in their current position or not, like how to position themselves?
Yeah, I think because, you know, like one of the things is let's say you've been working in a job for 10 years as an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
You've been watching Dominique's videos for the last 6 months and you're like, okay, I really want to be a financial professional. Like, how should they start to think about positioning themselves? Because I think the very first thing they market, and thanks for the asking for the clarification, mm-hmm. is themselves. Like, that's the very first thing you're going to have to market to either yes. to a client or an employer. Like, it's the same thing. So, like, yep. what kind of frame of mind should they be in on as far as executing on that goal of marketing themselves?
Okay, great. So you're bringing up a really good point that people don't often realize as, you know, solopreneurs, consultants, coaches out on their own, is that essentially you're selling yourself. And so you need to you need to feel confident. Like probably the confidence in yourself and able to do this is it. And what I have found in marketing, you tie in, like there is no separation between like who you are as a person and who you are as a business.
Thank you for saying that.
Guess what? If you're having a really bad day for whatever reason, right? Your partner, your kids, pandemic, anything. Well, and it's really hard to market yourself. You're not going to feel great about it. So like, just know that. So like that these two, that like your personal side and your business side are really tied together. And that
is that, why is that? Talk about that for a minute. Cause I think that's a good point to park on. I've had so many, and even I've struggled transparently. Mm-hmm. Should I have a personal profile or a business profile, or what should I put on each? And then I finally just said, Dominique's showing up in all these business meetings. Like I'm not two different people. So right. I'm this goofy, you know, loud, energetic type of person in everywhere I show up. So I'll just be that person. Talk about why that's so important to be whoever you are in those, in both spots.
Yeah. Rich, I love that because this is why you're leaving, right? Whoever you are out there listening to this, right? You're thinking about leaving because you don't feel totally fulfilled in the job that you're in right now. And there's something about going out on your own as a CFP that feels like that's touching something in your heart and your soul, whatever it is. And there might be some misideas that like, oh, it's going to give you all the freedom that you want in the world. That is not exactly what entrepreneurship does, but it does allow you to be yourself and to pursue the things that are meaningful to you and for the reasons why. Yeah. So like Dominique, your first question of like, why, like is really the first one. Like, why do you want to do this? What kind of life do you want to be living and doing this? And I have the philosophy that I don't plan to retire, but I want to work the number of hours on the things that I want to be working on for the rest of my life. Right. And so it's not about getting to a certain point and then stopping. It's about making the life that I want to be living and leading today for the rest of my life. Yeah. And so tying my business to myself, right? Like it's me being authentic. It's me being who I am. Like if I hated being on podcasts, like I wouldn't have done this podcast, right? Like it's like, there's gotta be something that's like I'm enjoying in what I'm choosing to do. Yeah. And so if you are showing up as two different people, one a business and one on personal, I would encourage you to just reflect, to say, mm-hmm. is that really what you want? And And I'll put a personal example out there. Like, I'm someone who goes to Burning Man. Most people don't, like, in the profession, that's not like a LinkedIn topic, right? Yeah. But what I realized, like, but my banner profile, you know, Shine Bright Marketing, like, I'm all lit up in my like LED outfit at Burning Man is my banner image. And like, I just have one word. And what I realized is by mentioning that, other people go to, right? People who resonate with, then they're going to resonate with me. And so I'm going to attract the people who are already attracted to who I am as an individual, not just because I can help them with marketing. And that's the joy of getting to choose your clients, is getting to choose the people who you resonate with and they resonate with you. And that's why you want to bring your like personal and your business together as much as
possible. I think the way I want to kind of sum up what you said or add to that is financial planning, giving financial advice has such major ramifications for not only the person giving it, obviously you get some fulfillment in that, but really to the person that you're giving that's receiving the advice. Like, I mean, literally the ability to change family trees. And I'm like, if you can't be authentic with that, and, you know, showing up and really being confident in who you are. Like, I think it starts there. If you have uncertainty around that, and this is the reason why I do Jumpstart, is because I'm just like really sick and tired of how the industry paints this job or this career. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing like that. I was telling a client the other day and I was like, look, my job, more than the investment knowledge and all this other kind of stuff, I was like, it's me to show up and as an authentic person and help you walk through the different areas of your life where you need to be. Finding that touch point first within yourself is the only way you can find it with the client.
Yes, totally agree.
I want to talk about like, how could somebody put or package all this together? If they're listening, they're like, okay, so where do I get started? Like, what are some things that you would suggest or even some things that you offer? Because I teased them with the MBA earlier. So maybe that's an appropriate time to talk about that now.
Okay, great. Yeah, so you can get your MBA with Shine Bright Marketing. That's your marketing baseline assessment. And so back to what I was saying, like strategy is first, right? I'm also an entrepreneur. I want to help other people figure out what they need right now. And a lot of us as entrepreneurs are scrappy, right? We can figure stuff out, but we don't want to learn a whole new industry. You don't want to learn everything about marketing, right? But you want to just have an understanding, a high level overview of what's important to you for your business right now, so that someone else is just like, hey, you should do this. You can be like, no, it's not where I'm at right now with my business, right? TikTok might be fine for you, but it's not what I need. And they can have the confidence and the clarity to know that. Yeah. So my MBA is a 2-month program where I do a deep dive into my clients, all of their marketing collateral, everything that they have, their website, any of their messaging, as well as their data, what they're collecting, what they're not collecting, what platforms are using, marketing and technology, or marketing technology. So just, we do all of that. And at the end of it, they'll get a customized marketing plan that helps them identify their priorities that will help them move their business forward the fastest, based on where they are right now.
No, I think that's great. Like that seems like a appropriate starting point because, you know, I've worked with advisors and all types of people in the financial services industry. And one of the first things people always gravitate towards to without fail, like you said, is I got to get my website up. And I'm like, but then when you look at their website, it's like, I don't know what you're trying to concentrate really hard on this for, because this is crap. And here's the deal. I think, you know, websites need to be informed, not just websites, but like even your workflow and how you deliver your service model needs to be informed by some type of strategy. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you just don't need to have a website just to have a website. Now, granted, I know there's a little bit of legitimacy factor that comes with having one. However, to spend thousands of dollars or whatever you're going to spend along with the time on something that has not been crafted for your specific message and your marketing strategy is going to be a waste of time. So it sounds like with the MBA, that is a good jumping off point to inform the rest of whatever they're going to do, like where are we going to be on social, how are we going to show up, what the website needs to say, and all this other kind of stuff. Is that correct?
Yes. And so oftentimes, like I've got one client right now, right? Like their first priority is to get their CRM set up. Their second priority is to work on the, is to work on the website, but to get to work on the website, right? The launch of that is the last thing. They need to get their logo design, their color palette, their font choices. Like you might have a logo. Do you know the exact colors that are on it? Do you know what fonts you're going to use for any collateral that you create versus it's on the website? And because consistency of your brand is going to elevate the professionalism of and how you come across. So that's something that I'm going to be like, okay, this is where you're inconsistent. This is where you're not looking very professional from what I see right now. So again, I can guide in that direction. The other element, and we talked about this a little bit, is the messaging piece, right? And figuring out once you know who your target audience is. And again, if that's, if you don't have that figured out, then I can point that out. Like we don't go anywhere until that's done, right? Like that's a priority step. And then how do you talk to them? Because if you, and you can have a like a different target audience, but it's ideally you're talking to one person. Again, this is my favorite phrase. None of us, we're, even the, even Amazon has limited time and limited money to spend on their marketing. So I'm not saying that you're going to say, you have to say no to anyone. What I'm saying is that you're going to, we're going to be targeting your marketing time and your money on the type of client who can make you the most money, right? So back to me as an example, right? I target former executives turned consultants. If I get someone who is 25 and has a business and they need help and my service offering aligns, I can still say yes. I don't say no to them because they weren't a former executive, right? As long as I'm in alignment, I just didn't spend money targeting them. They came from a referral. So that's very important. What the difference is.
Yeah. No, I think that's very important. I think, you know, when you, there's a couple of things that you said that just remind me of these themes or frameworks that I think about is, you know, A, if, you know, no one has unlimited, you know, time and or money to just, you know, throw at people, even Amazon. I love that. But, you know, what that speaks to though is, you know, because I'm speaking to or trying to attract a certain type of client, I am naturally by default saying no to some other people. And that's okay. But I think the deal is people, sometimes they get a little wrapped around the axle about what that means. But in essence, you're not putting in time and effort to have that no happen. You're, you know, it's naturally happening through your process. And I think the other thing too, that you said about, you know, color fonts and all the other kind of stuff that people are not really thinking about. If you show up on social with like 15 different color palettes, people are starting to think like, what brand is this? And then when they have that uncertainty, then they distrust you. So like, just so you know, that it, the whole thing is know, like, and trust for people to move on through the the psychological journey that needs to happen. So no, I'm glad you brought all that up. That's really great. So bringing this thing in for a landing here, this, you know, as you know, this podcast is to empower the next generation financial professional with tools to really take the client relationship to the next level. In that context, Janelle, what word or words of wisdom would you leave with the audience?
I would say you are an expert at what you know. Find people to help you for the areas that you don't know. Don't think you're going to become an expert at everything. So get your tribe of gurus or experts or, you know, just people that you trust to know, to ask questions to, and get them around you so that when someone says, hey, you should do this, you can be like, should I do this? And they'll be like, no. And you can just trust them. Right. So that is my, whether it's a business coach, whether it's a marketing coach, whether it is, you know, watching the YouTube videos, but like find the people who are going to be in your tribe that you can trust, who are experts at what you're not. And then that will help you move your business farther way faster than you could do it all on your own. It's absolutely worth the investment.
No, that's beautiful. I love it's, it. To me, it's it sounds like almost like a board of advisors, mastermind, something like that, that maybe there's people in that group that you're paying or not paying. But at the end of the day, it's those people that you go to to kind of be like, okay, so what do you think about this? Because I'm not an expert there. It's not my zone of genius,
you know,
to use a Gay Hendrix deal. But, you know, that I think the essence of, and I want to touch on something just real quick, because in our industry, we're trained as these experts in finance, and that seems to be some of the last frontiers for a lot of people is mastering their money. Mm-hmm. And so I think errantly, we come into the situation with, we know a little bit more than what we actually know. Like, that's how we show up as professionals. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's been your experience, but most financial advisors are a little bit not self-aware, let's put it that way. So with that being said, there's some overconfidence bias that happens. That's mm-hmm. probably better. And you tend to think you can do everything. Mm-hmm. The reason why I'm able to speak to this so succinctly is because I am that person. You know, I thought I could do the graphics, the copywriting, the everything. And then I finally hired a VA this past year, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. And so, to your point, I just want to underscore this. Find the things that you're good at doing, and the things that you're not good at doing, outsource them. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just say that something that you're not good at doing that you want to outsource is on that list and you don't have a budget for, mm-hmm. prioritize it. You probably don't need it right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that sums up what you were saying there, is like, have, you know, kind of stay in your lane, basically.
Yes. Yes. If you stay in your lane, you're going to move farther faster, for sure.
This is great. This has been great. I really appreciate it. Check out the marketing baseline assessment, is this called? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
We'll have links for that all in the show notes. Janelle, thank you again for spending your time and giving us your expertise on this subject of how to jumpstart your marketing plan.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure to be here.
All right, great. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Hey there. I really hope you enjoyed this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. The best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. First, you need to write down your most important takeaway, and then you need to give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. Also, remember, the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate it if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, if you'd like to join my free community to learn more about how you can become a next generation financial professional, please text me at 214-544-9226. I love to hear from you and point you in the right direction. Bye for now, until our next conversation.